He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
Hey, it's April and it's raining here in Vernon. Doesn't that mean that, what's the saying? April showers bring May flowers. Isn't that a good thing?
Right, well, spring is kind of like a woman. Hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. Because yesterday we took the grandkids out and it was a beautiful warm spring day. The sun was out, but today it's all cold and windy and whatever.
But it doesn't last here. I think that the downside of the coast being that it is a rainforest. This is not a rainforest. And these time periods, like it's very dry as we all know, but when it comes, it goes right away, like when the rain comes, and it doesn't rain that long. That's kind of why I like it here. So the clouds kind of open up and you get the warm.
Yeah, it's not like Vancouver.
No. Hey. So again, another reason why people should move from the coast to the Okanagan, where all the fruits grow and where people are happy because the sun is usually shining. So with that note in mind, what's cooking, dear?
What's cooking is black bean dip. Now, I've done this before, but I'm doing it again because it is just so easy to prepare. It's got light ingredients. It's super tasty and nutritious. And that's how I would describe this recipe. And it's really simple. Now, I don't have this recipe on our website, so I'm going to have to put it on our website. But black bean dip, not only for dipping raw vegetables or chips, but you can also top it onto meat, fish, chicken, use as a side dish for steamed vegetables. It's really a great accompaniment for any meal. And you know what? There is no oil in this dip. Just add water. So I've made this dip with whole cumin seeds and ground cumin seeds, freshly roasted, with tahini and without, and tried both lemon and lime juice, and every time it's always a hit. So you can mix and match this recipe up. And there's a lot to a little black bean. Now you can buy the canned black bean if you want to go organic black beans, or you can buy them in the dried version and you can soak them overnight. It's up to you. I've done both ways. Now these little black beans, they're loaded with a rare combination of both protein and fiber. And there's about 100 grams of beans. You'll get 21 grams of protein, 16 grams of fiber, and 63 grams of carbohydrates, and about 1,500 grams of potassium. So that's a pretty good ratio all in all, right, Dr. Hawley?
Well, let's keep in mind that beans are not particularly high in protein, are they? It's obvious that the carbohydrate component.
Well, it's a higher carbohydrate, but we're talking 21 grams of protein as opposed to 2 grams of protein. So
yeah. You know, so they do have more than some other plants out there. There's no doubt about that.
Yes. And the skins of the black beans are rich in anthocyanins. Now anthocyanins, they're responsible for the deep reds, blues, purples, and magenta colors in blueberries, grapes, and acai berries. So they're a really powerful antioxidant. Now, cumin is a nutty, peppery flavor, and, you know, it plays a really important role in Indian and Middle Eastern dishes, and it's a key component of curry. So if you use a whole cumin, which I've done, it gets an intense burst, or if you have it ground up, it kind of integrates more fully into your recipe. So I would use that. Either or, it doesn't really matter. I've used both. So here goes with the recipe. Now you can make it single, you can double it, you can triple it, you can do whatever you want. And it keeps in your fridge for maybe 3 or 4 days, so that's awesome. So let's just say we're going to use a can. So 19 ounces of black beans, you drain them and rinse them. 3 cloves. Or more of fresh crushed garlic. I'm a big garlic freak, so the more the merrier. The juice of 1 fresh lemon or lime. 1 tablespoon of tahini. Now, this is optional. You don't have to have tahini in there. And a tablespoon of ground cumin or whole cumin seeds. And a little bit of sea salt to taste. That just gives it a little power punch. Now, you can add 1/4 teaspoon of cayenne pepper or more. But it's kind of nice to have that little bit of hot, but you don't have to have the cayenne pepper. 1/4 cup of filtered water, and you add that filtered water gradually to get your desired consistency. And you throw all that into a food processor and you mix it all in, and that's it. I think that is the coolest thing, that there's no oil in it. I remember my girlfriend made it once, and I just fell in love with it. And I think I sat there and hoarded it all night long, eating with my vegetables. So it was really wonderful. So try that. Don't forget to tell me to put that on the website, because it really is a really nice dip to take to a party with a little bit of vegetables. Even just if you take a plate of carrots and then take this dip, it'll be really, really popular. So it's easy, it's healthy, nutritious, and yummy.
Don't you also make a black bean cookie?
I make a black bean cookie. I put black beans in my chili. I pretty much use black beans when I use beans. And the beauty, hey, I did forget to mention about the cumin. Cumin really helps with flatulence. So if you're having the beans and the cumin together, voila, it's a match made in heaven, folks.
Yeah, because we all know about the bean thing, right?
I guess so. But if you really, really cook the beans, then you don't get that. If you undercook the beans, you're going to ask for trouble. But most people don't have a problem with black beans. Kidney beans, yes. Lima beans, lentils. I have a problem with the lentils. So everybody's different. So anyway, that's it. Try that black bean dip, and I'm going to add it to the website. There you go.
Right on. So let's get our beans on, people. Who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Mr. Derek Evely. Now, Derek Evely is a highly successful coach and athletics educator. In the mid-1990s, he was the head coach of the Kamloops Track and Field Club before moving to Edmonton to work with a sports science manager at the Canadian Athletics Coaching Center. Today, Eric is a professional coach with expertise in all areas of speed power development, with a passion for heavy throwing events in athletics. He's the owner and the president of Eve Track Sports Consulting and company that specializes in educating coaches from all sport backgrounds and disciplines on matters relating to developmental and elite sport performance. So if you want to see Derek's full bio, please check the website. So anyway, I really, really enjoyed this interview, and I get really excited when I hear coaches talking, and I actually really understood everything that he said, and I think it's wonderful when we get to meet him and he gets to coach you. I'm really going to be listening in on that. But it's really funny how both of you are both Burnaby boys, and you both came and had the same coach, Ken Taylor. So it's a small world.
Yeah, we both had that positive experience, and Burnaby Central for me was awesome. You know, I loved the sport programs. They had Ken Taylor there, who was inducted into the Hall of Fame as a coach. He was just a great coach and got under your skin and motivated you. I remember one story where just before the meet, the big meet, the final BC Championships, he gets us all into the room, and there's this little packet on the desk in front of us. We opened up, and there's strawberry jam, you know, those little jam packets you get in restaurants. And he says, so who here has got any jam, right? So it was all about jam, you know, like that idea about having the jam, or you have no jam, you know, the capacity to perform and go through all the obstacles you need to go through to show up and do the work. So he played on our minds more so than anything else, which I think is great. And plus, he was nice. He was a decent person. He wasn't one of these mean coaches that pounds his athletes and whips them into shape and scares and frightens them. I don't like those kinds of coaches at all.
Now, Derek was a decathlete, and he has done all the track and field events at competition level and has a very good understanding of how the athlete needs to perform. Now, what I think is really interesting is what you told me today is that decathletes, when they do the decathlon, they don't throw the hammer. I think that's really interesting. They do everything else, but they don't throw the hammer.
I don't know why. Maybe it's because it's so difficult, or maybe because at the time they were putting this together in the U.S., which kind of sets the pace, unfortunately, for a lot of things in the wrong way. They had decided to outlaw the hammer and not put the cages in the high schools the way that we did in Canada before them. You see, because we're more European, we're influenced more so. I think their pattern of existence is more, you know, against things rather than do what other people are doing. They, you know, kind of set their own pace.
The hammer cage costs like $50,000 too.
Well, there was a money element too.
Yeah.
But usually the States is not lacking money when it comes to athletics. I mean, that's one of the issues in Canada, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
But there was a safety issue, but it's very difficult. It's a very difficult event. I think that just nails it right down there.
Well, there you have it. So anyway, what you did was you asked him what makes a great coach, team and or individual sport. You need to be a good leader, good managing of people, and empathetic. He said, number one, you have to have a really good work ethic to be a coach. You have to eat, sleep, breathe it. Number two, you have to understand how to produce athletes with a system that works for them. Just because a system works for one doesn't mean it's going to work for another. So you have to really be able to understand that. Number three, he says, be able to make and keep athletes healthy. Very important. And number four, a good coach cares about the athlete. I thought that was really cool. Very interesting to note, because I haven't had coaches like that. And I did have coaches like that. So he says, talent is a given when recruiting an athlete, but not all athletes with talent succeed. Ones that rise to the top, the number one in athletes I'm talking about, he says number one is discipline, self-drive and motivation. That's what you absolutely must have. Number two, the ability to show up every single day and get the job done, whether you feel like it or not. Do the reps and work without the drama. You don't be a prima donna and have the drama. Ooh, I like that one. Number three, the ability to make smart choices and decisions regarding the competitions they enter, their health, recovery, etc. So that's what makes a really good athlete rise to the top. They have to have those qualities. Don't you think that was interesting, Corey? I mean, he's been around so long and worked with so many athletes that this is what he's come up with, right?
Yes, and this is why we produce SNU. We find people with a vast amount of experience in a particular field that they're well-known in and have expertise in, and they have the experience and the know-how and the intellectual capacity. This is why we pick their brains. I just think that finding people like this is phenomenal, because we can draw from their mind this vast well of knowledge that it would take you a whole lifetime to accumulate. And in many cases, you would never get it because that's not your area of focus.
Right. You asked him, what is common with all throwing? And he says all throws are completely different. They all require speed, athletic ability, and strength. But he says there's a little controversy about what is needed, but he says the vote is speed is number one. And we asked him, why doesn't the hammer get recognized as much as other events? He says, there's less people doing it. It's dangerous, of course. You can't just go out and throw the hammer. You need a cage. And not all facilities can afford it. So that was kind of interesting, because I didn't know anything about the hammer. When you told me that you threw the hammer when I first met you 30 years ago, I thought you actually threw a hammer like a dart to a dartboard. So I've learned a lot about the hammer. And what type of strategy or training system does he use to coach his athletes, you asked him? He says it's less strength-based, a lot of small doses of throwing more often, specific weight training exercises for that sport. And he says you start at point A and see where you peak, and then period of development of sport form. So every athlete is different. You can't just give every single athlete the same thing and expect them all to rise to the top. It's kind of like diet. Like somebody might be allergic to strawberries or peanuts, not everybody, but there's a certain thing that we all need as human beings, right? So I thought that was kind of cool.
There's also a sport type connection, you know. Why am I drawn to the hammer? I can tell you, right? It's very intense. It's super fast. It has a demand built in that demands, it absolutely demands a strong, powerful work ethic. I've never met a good hammer thrower who is not solid, super high integrity, you know, totally dedicated. You just can't achieve anything worthwhile in this event unless you have those qualities. So the sport itself is just a, you know, a viewing screen of the person's character, really. That's what I love. So, and then the other thing too is that as strange as the hammer is and as cool as it is, that's the kind of people that attracts. It attracts very strange,
of course, dear,
but very
of course.
Cool people.
Yes. Well, to me, he's just by listening to him, he sounds like a super fantastic coach, and I'm really excited to meet him. Now, his final word was, just get out and do it, and don't make it so complicated. I think what happens is, and I've done this with my teaching dancing, sometimes I get right into the technique with my students and it blows them away. And so I've learned that just get them out there moving, get them out there moving around the floor and get them spinning and turning and having a great time. And then slowly you incorporate the technique. They're not even aware that they're doing it. But if it gets too technical, it can get very frustrating for newcomers. But as you get better and better at the sport, you want more technique. So don't make it so complicated and get out there. Okay, and that's it. And thank you very much, Derek. We really appreciate your special guest interview.
Right on. Moving on. What is your hot topic?
Well, my hot topic is spring cleaning, spring fever. It's springtime. And whether it's cleaning the garage or going on a fast, spring is a great time to clean up your environment in and out. So it's a time to get out of hibernation. Because the winter is kind of like hibernating, right? And it's time to breathe fresh air and to really become aware of your personal space, of who you are and what you want to do. And it's time to simplify your life. So what I just finished doing, get rid of those clothes that you never wear. Give them away to a thrift store or a friend. One man's junk is another man's treasure. Get rid of the bottles and the containers with no lids, old bedding and towels, old makeup, old toiletry, food in the refrigerator or the cupboard that has been expired. Or if something is broken, fix it once and for all. And of course, like the list goes on and on and on. I think you get where I'm going with this, right, Corey?
If you do research on what spring meant to the pagans going back 500, 1,000, 2,000, 4,000 years, you'll learn about the goddess Easter, right? And it has nothing to do with the religion that is relatively new, but the whole idea was life. You know, it's tied in with the production of a future that's going to give you life. So I think that, like, here we're in the spring and I've been looking forward to it. During the winter months when it's cold and everyone's bundled up and you spend a lot of time inside, you know, you pretty much have to, especially if it's like you're back east and all that. But the anticipation, they had this spring festival and they celebrated life, right? And the goddess of spring. And it was all part of what they thought was true in terms of their worship strategy. You know, that's what I feel inside. There's a kind of a worship that I have for spring because track season opens up and, you know, it gets warmer and you can see the buds on the trees and you can see new life coming from something that appeared to be dead or dormant and now it's filled with life. I just think it's super cool.
It is. And it's a wonderful time to reevaluate your life and to reinvent yourself and change what isn't working and get rid of it and add something new. Like something like I would do is like rearrange your furniture in your house, buy new curtains, freshen up your home, get a new hairstyle, try a new hobby or sport. You know, it's just time to make some changes. It's time to get out of hibernation and start new, right? Beginning of life. So that's my hot topic, spring fever. There you go.
That's it? That's all? What about you're a clean freak? What about this clean thing? You know, what about the spring cleaning thing? You didn't fit that one in.
Well, I did talk about clean, get clean, clean out your closets and clean behind the bed and clean behind the couch. And well, yeah, I did mention that for sure.
Okay, I guess I wasn't paying attention.
That's just a given.
I guess I wasn't paying attention to you. I guess I was just kind of like phased out and focusing on the goddess Easter, you know. She looks pretty cool if you try and get an image of her. Okay, that's very cool. So everyone out there, it's spring. Time to get out there. Time to run, swim, cycle. Time to go for walks and hikes and get out into nature and suck it in and reinvent yourself. Dear, that was great. What's your final word?
My final word is by Albert Einstein. Out of clutter, find simplicity.